I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Midlife Mavericks. I'm your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you are joining us today. If you are new here, this podcast is all about becoming the best you can possibly be in midlife. And I consider that a stage, not an age, a stage when you decide you want to be who you are meant to be, put yourself first, and create your dream. And we have people on this podcast who've done amazing things in that second chapter of their life, as well as experts who can help us and guide us through everything from finance to health and wellness to beauty to sex to business, you name it. And please, if you like this podcast, I'd really appreciate it if you would follow and leave a review, because that will help the algorithms allow more women in midlife to find this podcast. And that's what it's about, creating some incredible, incredible communities of women. So today, my guest is Kate Champion. And I always have a little conversation with my guests beforehand. And Kate's another one of those where I've just met her, I've just spoken to her, but I immediately felt a connection. And I think one of those shared connections is loss. For those of you who know me, I lost my first son to sudden infant death syndrome, my son Connor, in 1997. And so when you meet people who have experienced loss, there is this immediate connection. But Kate is also the author of best-selling books, Never Too Late, Inspiration, Motivation, and Sage Advice from 7 Later in Life Athletes, and You Are Limitless, Anxiety, Grief, Trauma, Addiction, 7 Inspiring Stories of Hope and Healing, and 2 Pocket Guides. Kate has spoken nationally and internationally about leadership addiction, anxiety, wellness, and recovery. She's lived experience with grief, loss, trauma, and healing. And through her books, clinical practice, online communities, events, and weekly podcast, Living Big Mindfully, Kate has been inspiring and supporting people for over 2 decades. Welcome, Kate.
Wow. Thank you so much. What a great introduction. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, let's start at the beginning. There was this, you know, first of all, I said, I love both of your books. And I was particularly drawn to the one because you had sunflowers on the front of it. And I explained my story of sunflowers and how that's the sign for my dear friend who passed away from cancer 3 years ago. And you said, I have loss and grief stories too. So let's start at the beginning. Like, how did you get started in this?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm 60. That's a long story, but just the short in the beginning, I say that my first 25 years was really rocky, right? I had a rough start. I'm from England originally, so kind of born and raised and educated in England. And, you know, I lost my father to suicide when I was very young. And then my mother tragically lost her when I was 16, and kind of just all of those events just really threw our family into a tailspin. And, you know, again, that first kind of 25 years was pretty rocky. And then, you know, I'm also a late bloomer, so I kind of do everything late or backwards or whatever. So I didn't go back to school, you know, rocky high school experience. Left school, traveled, and again, a lot of grief and trauma in that. And then kind of came to the United States. And it wasn't until I was 25, 26, 27, that I decided to go back to school and start the psychology degree and master's degree and all the rest of it. And then, you know, now have come to, you know, private practice. And I help people every day with kind of grief, loss, trauma, and addiction. So that's the cliff notes, if you like. But yes, it's been quite a journey for sure.
And tell me about, I love this story because, as I think I shared with you, I ran the New York City Marathon at 57 years old, had never run in my life. And I know you went backpacking at 55. Like, I just love that we're doing these things later in life. But tell me about that journey you took, not just the actual journey, but what transpired because of that.
So the backpacking, like, well, so, okay, yeah. So the healing journey, right? I mean, that is different for everybody, and there's multiple ways to kind of to heal from some of these big kind of cornerstone losses. So for me, nature, right? Spending time in the natural world was a huge part of my healing process. So I've always been a runner, you know, then I got into trail running, and then you know, really spent a lot of time working on my demons and really letting go of a lot of the grief on the trail, whether it was running, hiking, trail running, backpacking. And then, you know, at 55, I decided I wanted to really get deeper into nature. And I thought, okay, the best way to do that is probably strap a pack on my back and just go out, you know, 3 days, 5 days, whatever. So I signed up for the a women's only backpacking 101 and kind of went, complete strangers. I didn't know anybody. There were six of us. And truthfully, that event, that time with those women really was profound for me. I mean, A, I was able to connect with the natural world in a way that I hadn't been able to do before. And then, you know, meeting those like-minded women was just so powerful, and hearing their stories around the campfire, and everybody had something, you know, kind of some grief, some loss, trauma. I don't know. We all have something, right? And everyone was out there with the same intention, just to kind of community, support, connect with the natural world and heal. And it was that backpacking trip that, you know, my first book kind of sprouted from, if you like the book Never Too Late. That was the impetus for that book, because the woman leading the trip, she was 65 and an incredible woman, solo hiker. She had done hundreds and hundreds of miles, all the big trails, over the PCT, the Appalachian Trail, the Florida, the Mountain to Sea Trail. And she sat there around that bonfire and just told us all her story, and she had an amazing story, and just the connection and the love and the inspiration. It was just powerful, but a big part of my healing process as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something so powerful in connecting with nature. And it's interesting because somebody else that was on my podcast talked to me about the connection between nature and music. And some of the most famous musicians and composers used to go out into nature and walk as they composed. And I think that connection is so important, especially when you're dealing with, like you said, the demons and trying to really finally get over them. So talk to me about your recent book, You Are Limitless.
Yeah, so You Are Limitless came a couple of years after Never Too Late. And for that book, for me, I really, both of my books, all of my books, they have, you know, I love real stories about real people. So all of my books feature real touch and feel people that have incredible stories. And the You Are Limitless book, I really wanted to focus, and again, part of my healing journey, I was ready to do it. I really wanted to focus on grief, loss, trauma, anxiety, and addiction, because those things just haunt people, and they can haunt people for years and years and years. And I wanted to write a book that shared stories of hope and healing, and also have in that book, there's a component of, you know, encouragement, support, what you can actually do, you know, limiting beliefs. So all of my books have the inspirational stories, and they have the kind of the psychological component of that self-help component as well. So that was just that. I just wanted to tell my story, and then, well, let me back up. That is the book where I actually start to tell my story, right? In the introduction, I tell my story of kind of childhood, my father's suicide, my mother's death, and, you know, all the rest of it. And I don't tell it, you know, for a pity party or for people to kind of say, oh my gosh, poor woman. I tell it really to show and highlight healing is possible, you know, healing. You can heal, you can recover, you can have a rich, full life, you know, and I tell it for inspiration and I tell it to give hope.
You know, I love that word hope because I mean, I was 31 when my son died. And now, in addition to what I'm doing as a speaker and a coach, I'm the CEO of an organization, First Candle, which addresses sudden infant death syndrome. And I really, one of the best parts of my job, the hardest, but the best, is when I speak with families who've recently lost a baby because I'm that hope. They see me and they realize that you can survive, you can go on. And yeah, your life is forever changed, but you can go on. And I think that's the key, right? Is having hope.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of pieces. I think having hope is definitely a piece of it. You know, loss is a tough one, and people say, "Oh, you know, you've got to get over it, or you've got to do this, or you've got to do that." That isn't really my philosophy. My philosophy is, okay, how do you integrate this loss into your life, right? Because your life is still going, right? You still have to get up every day. You have to do the laundry. You have to go to work or do whatever you do. You know, and this loss isn't really going away. It doesn't disappear, right? But you have to be able to somehow get to the point where you can integrate it into your life, right? People will tell me, you know, I'm a therapist, right? So I hear a lot of grief and loss stories, and it's like, how can I fix this? How can I get over this? How can I almost like pretend this didn't happen? You know, how can I solve this? Like, it's a problem to solve, but it isn't a problem to solve. It's a life event, a tragic life event, and we have to integrate it into our fabric, right? And how do we do that? How do we integrate these losses into our everyday fabric of our lives so we can have a life, so we can live?
I was actually the guest on a podcast yesterday talking about this, about how, you know, you can't ignore it. You have to allow it to come out. But I think that it's very hard, number one, for people around you to support you because people in this country in particular don't know how to manage grief. They don't know how to handle grief. And I think one of the things I always said to people is, I want you to say my son's name. I don't ever want to think that people have forgotten him. So I want to hear you talk about him. I welcome you to talk about him. But people are so afraid to say the wrong thing, they don't say anything.
And I have to just tell you this quick story. So I'm a therapist, and I actually met with a woman for the first time yesterday, and she had just lost her grandbaby, three hours old. Tragic, tragic. And you know, she's coming in, she's getting some help for this desperate grief, right? Desperate, gut-wrenching grief. And she had told me, she said, I feel so alone. My friends aren't connecting. You know, people aren't talking to me. People aren't showing up. And she said, I think people don't know what to say. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's just so painful that people in these desperate time of needs, they feel isolated. They feel like there's a barrier. They feel like there's a disconnection because everybody around them is so freaking uncomfortable with this whole grief and loss thing. They don't know what to say. So it's like compounds the loss, right? So this woman is like melting. Her life has fallen apart. And now she feels alone and isolated on top of that. You know, it's like we have to learn to do grief better.
We and that's the thing, and man, this is not the way I thought this podcast would go, but I am so excited it is because I think it's necessary. So, you know, the whole idea of the cycle of grief, and you know this, is it's not linear at all. It's not linear. And one day you could be angry, and one day you can accept, and one day you can bargain. And it just keeps going around. And we have this idea in this country that there's a set time that you grieve and then you're over it. But that's so not true.
That's so not true. And again, going back to my kind of therapy practice, I have I see people, and they're still, and plus my own journey, right? I've just turned 60. You know, my mother's birthday is in January 16th, and I still take time that day, you know, to honor. Sometimes there's a few tears. Sometimes I'll go out on the trail, I'll go for a run and, you know, have some tears. I miss her desperately, you know, and that happened when 16 and I'm 60. And again, not that I'm sitting in it still, because I've done a lot of the healing, but it still touches my heart. I still someday look up at the heavens and say, hey, you know, give me a sign or something, you know. But to me, that's healing, right? That is recovery, right? When you can get to that point, that is recovery.
And when you can, I'm not going to say, when you can find meaning almost, and I always say this, I would give anything to have my baby back, anything, but I would not be who I am today without that beautiful little angel. I would not be doing what I'm doing. Never in a million years did I think when I was 21, hey, I'll be running a nonprofit that deals with SIDS. Like that, you wouldn't have thought it, but I know I'm doing what I'm meant to do. And I know I'm meant to offer hope and help to people. And you have to find meaning.
Yeah. I the language I like, it, you know, the loss in time, if you allow it, if you can open to it, it can inform your life. It can literally kind of sculpt your life. I mean, I know people that may be struggling with losses today are just like, just devastating. They can't even think about tomorrow, let alone a lifespan. But just, I just want people to hear that, just take the time, cry, talk to people, be angry, whatever you need. You've got to honor the feelings. You've got to have the tears. You've got to do all the internal stuff. But just know somehow this loss will sculpt kind of your life. And it's going to be a guidepost. Somehow it will be. I really believe that.
Yeah. Talk a little bit, if you could, about specifically suicide and when it's a adult child and, you know, the enormous guilt parents feel. What can you tell them about how to cope?
Yeah. So I'm going to be completely honest. That is a tough subject for me, the suicide thing. You know, I'm just, you know, we got a lot of family history of addiction and mental health stuff, and suicide has been rampant in our family. So it's still very close to my heart. I think so. That is the tough one for me. I think parents struggling with an adult child suicide. I mean, first of all, it's devastating.
Devastating.
And I think it's the same, right? It's going to be painful. You have to work through it. I think it depends on the circumstances. I mean, some suicides, you know, are very accidental. Some like an accidental overdose, right? It wasn't really intentional, but that person just, you know, accidentally had an overdose, which maybe wasn't a suicide, but it is kind of a sudden death. And then other suicides are very intentional. Like that person put a gun to the head and pulled the trigger, right? So for me, you know, again, just personally, I feel like knowing that person probably had some mental illness, probably had something kind of underlying, and begin to look at that, right? That there was stuff going on, whether you know it, whether you didn't, but just know there's a bigger picture here. And again, I just, heart goes out to people in that situation.
Yeah. And first of all, I'm so sorry for what you've dealt with, and thank you for being honest and open and vulnerable. And I think that is the most important thing. I've unfortunately seen many families who have not dealt with their loss, but it always comes out. And it may be 10 years later, it may be 20 years later, it may come out in different ways, but it comes out. And you have to be willing to talk about it to heal.
Yeah. So suicide comes in, you know, again, in my work, in my personal experience, suicide comes in all shapes and sizes. And it's complicated. And I think if you do have a suicide in the family or your family history, like multi-generationally, I mean, I've got grandfather that committed suicide, a great-grandfather, I mean, we got a massive family history. You have to talk about it, right? Talk about it with your kids. Talk about the legacy. Talk about the signs and symptoms. I would rather talk about prevention, right, than the denial of the secrecy. There can be a lot of secrecy around suicide. I'd rather talk about prevention. Let's get it out there. Let's talk to kids. Let's talk to teens. Let's get them the tools that they need. Let's open the dialogue. Like, mom, I'm really not feeling good. I'm having some suicidal thoughts. I'm more about prevention because, you know, once somebody completes a suicide, it's over, right?
Yeah.
So I believe the conversation has to be about prevention. I'm big on prevention. Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. Are you looking for an extra dose of motivation every day? Head over to Amazon and grab my book, Daily Inspirations for Midlife Women, a guide to peace, joy, confidence, and abundance. You'll find small inspirational quotes that you can start out your day feeling bold and confident. We're talking to Kate Champion. And Kate, you've got two books out right now. The one, You Are Limitless, which we've been talking about, but you also have Never Too Late, Inspiration, Motivation, and Sage Advice from 7 Later in Life Athletes. I love that. Tell me about some of the stories in there.
Yeah, that's a super fun book. I love that book. And again, that book I wrote just after my 55th birthday backpacking trip. I published that, I think I was 57 or something. And that book is full of light and love and inspiration. So one of my favorite stories, a couple of my favorite stories. One is, I don't know if you've heard of her sister, Madonna, right? She is a nun. She is in her 80s and she is still winning triathlons. She is an incredible, incredible woman. Sister Madonna Bruder, right? If you haven't checked her out, you have to check her out. So I had a call with her, you know, it was a long shot. I didn't know she would be willing to work on the project with me. So I was connected with her through a friend, kind of a hiking friend. I reached out, she agreed to an interview. And I have to tell you, that was the most powerful interview of my life. I mean, just her presence and her calmness and her connection with the higher power. And her incredible story. I mean, she's just done so much. So she was really inspirational. I was able to interview the woman, the solo hiker that did our women's backpacking trip. Her name is Yvonne. She's in there too, and she tells her story, and she also describes some of her experiences while she's out there on the trail solo. And she gives lots of tips and strategies. So that's another one of my favorites. There was a mountain climber, and she, just a regular person, just like you and me. She had this dream of climbing a mountain. She went to one of the, you know, the ones out in Nepal, and she talks about her journey and getting there, and she summited. And again, these are all later in life people. They're all people that started late and are continuing. They're continuing to stay active. They're exploring. They're out there. They're really pushing the envelopes. So fun book.
Did you find some theme throughout each of their stories in terms of their background or history or what made them so, you know, willing to take chances?
The biggest theme I felt was honestly their kind of zest for life, right? It was a mindset, this mindset around, truthfully, it is never too late. You know, they wanted to stay active. They wanted to stay fit. They wanted to stay healthy. And they really felt that, you know, through baby steps, through getting up, there were some morning routines that they had in common. There was some of this mindset about just get up and do 5 minutes, get up and do 10 minutes, that this habit building set. But they had all kinds of different whys. But again, there was some similarities with regard to some of the habits and the way they kind of structured their day.
Well, you just said the thing that I always talk to my clients about is, you know, if you have a goal, if you don't have a great and powerful why chances are you're not going to succeed, because you are going to have setbacks. You are going to have days where it's tough. And if you don't keep that great and powerful why in front of you, it's not going to last. I mean, that's how I ran the marathon. My great and powerful why was, yes, I needed a fitness goal at 57, but it was for Connor. And so, yeah, you have to have that great and powerful why.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, 100%. Well said.
Wow. So what's your next book? Are you already thinking about that?
Well, honestly, I've kind of switched gears. I'm really into the creating events right now. We've got a women's wellness expo coming up. We've got, you know, I want to do a women's expo kind of summit, like more of a virtual. I'm an advocate for women. I'm an advocate for wellness and fitness. And I really want to impact more people. And I'm just really digging these events right now. So that's kind of where my focus is.
And you have a podcast. I don't know how you do all this, Kate.
I have a podcast, Living Big Mindfully. And again, that's another way I can really kind of share these information, share these inspirational conversations, provide a little bit of hope for people. And yeah, that's a really fun podcast, Living Big Mindfully. I love that. Comes out every Tuesday.
I love it. So, you know, it's interesting because you've got books, you've got podcasts. One of the things as an entrepreneur, and you're a psychiatrist as well. I mean, that's what I find as entrepreneurs. We allow ourselves to explore so many different areas of passion. And that's one of the things I love about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think for me, like, because, you know, you have to really realize what are your core values. And some of my core values are freedom, kind of flexibility, and creativity, right? So how can I, every day I look at my life and living intentionally, how can I, you know, am I getting those things? Do I have the freedom? And the freedom to be able to create, right? The freedom to be able to have my practice and, you know, put these events together. And also have time on the trail, right? That's a big piece. You know, the flexibility. I like to be able to get up and arrange my day the way I want to arrange it. And I think creativity is just one of the biggest gifts that we have as humans, is the ability to kind of create and connect, and really connecting with that right now. So I'm very fortunate, very, very, very fortunate.
And one of the things that I know you talk about, and I do as well, about living intentionally. Talk to me about what that means and how people can start living intentionally.
Yeah, so it's one of my favorite subjects. So it's simple. It's really simple. So, you know, it's literally getting up in the morning, you know, no matter what you've got on, whether it's kids or you're caring for a loved one who's sick or it's work or whatever. Getting up in the morning, taking a breath and saying to yourself, asking yourself, okay, what is one thing I can do for me today? Mm-hmm. And just notice what comes up. What's one thing, what one way I can care for myself today, right? And that, I see intention as a compass, right? That sets your compass for the day. And if you can say, okay, I'm going to, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to stop, I'm going to take a 20-minute walk. You know, at mm-hmm. lunchtime, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to breathe for 5 minutes, right? Whatever it happens to be, just choose that one thing, set your little compass for the day, and then you go through all the things, but you'll find yourself drawn towards that time. And if that's the only thing you can do for yourself, get it in there, get it done.
I found the best thing that I ever did was get myself a Fitbit. And I did that when I started training for the marathon, but it literally gives me that signal, you've been sitting too long, get up and move. And that's kind of my time to say, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to do something. And so, yeah, it reminds me it's time to think of yourself.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and to live an intentional life, also, you really have to do the internal work. I think that really comes down to emotional fitness, right? So how do you begin to figure out what your blocks are? You know, in our pre-talk, you talked a little bit about limiting beliefs and things like that. So it's like, it is uncovering. It's like going inside, uncovering the limiting beliefs, kind of rewiring some stuff. I don't like that analogy, but it kind of works. And then, you know, once you're shedding the layers, then you can get a clear picture of, okay, what are my values? You know, what, how do I want my life to look? And then you can begin to start to set your days up, your weeks up, your months up very, very intentionally.
Kate, you, I'm so honored I had the opportunity to meet you, because everything you say resonates with me, and I can't wait for to just hear about how the next chapter in your life is going to unfold, because I know it's going to be something fabulous. Your books, where can people get your books?
They're everywhere, but Amazon, obviously, Barnes and Nobles. You can jump on my website. There's links there, katechampionauthor.com. But yeah, all the booksellers are there available.
Perfect. Well, we are going to have the links to your books, to your podcast, to everything you're doing, so people can check you out. Last question. What is one piece of advice you would give women in midlife?
I would say deal with the internal stuff, right? Get really emotionally fit, right? If there's stuff in the shadows, stuff in the corners, let's shine a spotlight on them and get all that cleaned up. And then let's start to really live a healthy, strong, fit, intentional life for this final quarter, right? This is the final quarter. Let's go out with a bang, and you know, let's really celebrate every moment.
I love it. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. And everybody, have a great week. And I will see you next week. Bye now.